You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. So we're talking about MagCon. We're talking about Cameron Dallas's Netflix show called Chasing Cameron. Mm-hmm. We're bringing back stan stories, and we're going to talk to a Cameron Dallas slash like old MagCon fan. We have a lot to talk about today.
All I have to say is just keep an open mind as y'all are listening. You know, we want y'all to maybe get a new perspective on things, but if you still feel the same way, it's cool. Just give it a
understandable.
Ride with us for a little bit, and we'll see where we end up. So, all right, let's get into it. MagCon, for those who don't know, is an acronym, and it stands for Meet and Greet Convention. And it is basically a tour. So they set up, the company MagCon sets up a tour with several dates. And pretty much the sole point of this tour is to get a group of social media famous, it's predominantly guys, white guys. And basically the point of it is for them to meet fans. Like, that's the whole point of this tour. They do have a stage set up with a DJ and occasional jumping around on the stage and maybe some singing from one or two of them. But the whole point is to get social media famous people. So I'm talking like teen stars with like 10 million followers on Twitter or Instagram. Get them to meet thousands of girls who, for whatever reason, clicked follow and stan them. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that exists. And there's like a similar like group called DigiTour, which is pretty much the same idea. But we're going to spend most of our time talking about MagCon. So before we get into the discussion, can we just talk about, before we did research for this episode, our views on, or, you know, MagCon and this whole entire, like, world? What were some of your thoughts before?
Initially, I thought they're, like, exploiting young girls and, like, using the power, you know, like the power of social media and the power of young girls wanting to feel like they're important, I guess, to the person that they like. Mm-hmm. So you take a really attractive to somebody, you know, a really attractive guy, and have him tweet things like, "Hi, I love you," mm-hmm. to 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it sticks, and it's just like they feel like, oh, he said that to me, you know. And so that was, you know, those were my initial thoughts. And then, like, I've seen things about them on Twitter and stuff like that. It was never anything positive. Mm-hmm. It was always, like, something's going on with one of those MagCon boys again or something like that. Like, I never really paid attention because I just did not care much. The only person that I really, like, not even really paid attention to, but I knew of, like, by name and knew what they did was Shawn Mendes. And he's from the original MagCon. Mm-hmm. Which is totally different than the MagCon today. Oh my God. Was he MagCon or was he just like,
I don't know. Like, I could have sworn, like, I don't know where, like, people like Jacob Whitesides, who is pretty much a singer along the vein of Shawn Mendes, and like Mahogany Locks, like, I don't know where they fit into. And who is Mahogany Locks related to again? Isn't she like Quincy
Barry
Jones?
Gordy.
Barry Gordy. There you go. It's like granddaughter, great niece or something like that. But she was like DJing for one of these, and I think it was like the old MagCon. So basically, like, there was the old MagCon that pretty much jump started all of this, which existed back in, like, I want to say, like, you know, 2011, 2013, like around mm-hmm. that time. And then they like broke apart around 2014 because of some mess involving the company. And then they kind of brought it back within the last year or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, people like Shawn Mendes, like, were able to break out of it and not have kind of, like, this tainted image or whatever. But I pretty much had the same thoughts as you about them, because when you're in, like, the stan world in general, you spend a lot of time on social media. So inevitably on Twitter or Tumblr, like, you're going to hear rumblings of, like, what's going on in other fandoms, like the MagCon people. And so, like, you hear their names and, like, nothing great associated with it. And then also there is that negative stereotype that exists when it comes to, like, social media stars or, like, Viners. Like, you know, there's definitely a group of them that show off, you know, their skills, their comedic skills, their musical skills, whatever. But then there's a group that they're just kind of there, and you're like, why is this a thing? And I feel like that's what people think of when people who know of MagCon, that's what they think of when they think of that group. And so when I did think of them, it was usually not in a great way.
Yeah.
But I guess like all of that changed. Well, not maybe not all of that, but a huge part of that changed when we started watching Chase and Cameron as like research for this.
Yeah.
Because we just started the show, like, again, it's on Netflix and it's pretty much like a docu-series that follows like mainly Cameron, but like the other, you know, new school MagCon kids are like kind of secondary characters on it. So you get to see them on their European tour and all the crazy drama involved in it. And it's very dramatic. Like, every single boy cried, like, within the first episode.
Very dramatic.
But in a couple of ways, like, it did kind of, like, I guess, not humanize them, but, like, it made me understand their, you know, that they're not these completely, like, crazy idiots that a lot of people associate, you know, them to.
Yeah. So, like, when I was watching it, the first thing, like, once I got through the first episode, I'm like, okay, Cameron isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, for those that don't know, like, Cameron Dallas is kind of, like, the head of everything. Like, he has the most followers, you know, out of all of the, I think maybe even the older people. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Shawn Mendes, you know, because he's branched out and made such a huge following for himself after MagCon. But, like, with the people that are still in MagCon, Cameron is the head, you know what I mean? He talks about owning part of the company along with some of the other, like, older guys. And... like, while I was watching it, like, it felt like, if anybody has ever watched the 1D movies, the One Direction movies,
it
felt
like watching Never Say Never.
Yeah, it felt like watching those, but just without the music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was pretty much very reminiscent of, you know, a One Direction movie that I saw not too long ago or whatever. So after watching it, before I watched it, I felt like Taylor Kniff was a dick. And after watching it, I still felt like Taylor Kniff was a dick.
Yes.
Like, he's a douchebag, but like,
also
it's expected.
Whiny.
Yes. Very whiny, very whiny. Like, if you watch it, I kind of want people to watch it because it's like watching a reality show because they fuss just as much as a bunch of housewives. Like, it's ridiculous. They cry and they fuss and it's really emotional.
Yeah, but I also think, like, it's a really interesting look at this world and it seems, like, really honest because, like, in the very, very first episode, and this is when I knew that I was kind of hooked. Like, in the first episode, first scene, Cameron, like, he directly addresses that negative stereotype that is associated with social media stars. And he just kind of, like, breaks it down and talks about how, whether you like it or not, there's a huge demographic on social media that wants to be a fan of other things. And you can, you know, create a brand out of it. And you can, you know, meet them where they are and truly make something great happen, you know. And he breaks that down and he talks about how he started as like an Instagram model, quote unquote, and then branched off into Vine and Twitter and just the different ways he would like actually pay attention to analytics and, you know, use that knowledge to kind of like continually like just make his name bigger and just getting a sense that like he actually understands the business side of it in a way. Was really interesting because I honestly never would have given him that kind of credit if I hadn't seen this. So, like, that was really cool. And then just the moments where they talk about having, like, actual panic attacks because taking on so much of these fans' emotional baggage is so difficult. Because, like, we've seen, you know, Zayn and Justin Bieber stop doing meet and greets because of this. We've, you know, seen members of Fifth Harmony, like, break down because, you know, they just can't take people coming up to them constantly and being like, you saved my life, and you know, just expecting you to be on all the time. But like with the MagCon crew, that's all they do,
right?
Like, because they, like, you know, their entire persona, the only reason why people are there is to meet them. And so I found it really interesting that they addressed that, how heavy of a burden that can be, and just showing the result of it as well. I thought was like really sad for like everyone involved, but like it was important, I think, for people to see.
Yeah, because, like, when I think about, like, Zayn, Justin Bieber, whatever, they, after a bad meet and greet, they can get on stage and put leave everything on the stage, you know what I mean? Because music is their thing, music is their passion. So doing what they love after having, say, a bad meet and greet experience might make the day better. But mm-hmm. with them, it's like they're not really passionate about music the way, you know, musicians that have been working on music their whole, you know, their whole life are. So it's like, when do you get a chance to release? You know what yeah. I mean? When do they get a chance to have a release or whatever? So I definitely felt bad for them in those points. Because, I mean, there's a scene where they're showing, like, 10 fans jumping to be on Cameron's back for a picture, wanting to, like, straddle him or whatever. And, like, it's, you know, and it's like, man, I would be so annoyed. Like, knowing me, I would be so annoyed. We only saw maybe, like, 6 or 7 kids, like, but we don't know how many. They mean, like, 500 people,
yeah.
you know, that are buying VIP tickets or whatever. So, and, I mean, there was one girl that, like, she would not leave. Like, they were like, girl, you have to leave at this yeah. point. Like, you took your picture, you said what you had to say, and she's just like, I just want you to be happy. And she's, like, hysterical because she just wants him to be happy. And it's like, I was exhausted just watching it. It's just, after watching it, I definitely have a lot more sympathy for them mm-hmm. when it comes to fan interactions and stuff like that. But I don't know, I wish it was a little bit more genuine. And when I say genuine, I think about, like, their Twitters and how it's kind of like, it's very cliche. Like, the tweets they'll send out will be something like,
Let me read one of them. I happen to have Cameron's Twitter timeline up. So he just has tweets that, like, any fan following him could interpret as just being to them and to them only. Like, you know,
right.
Someone go to Coachella with me. 17,000 retweets.
I'll go with you. Like,
another tweet, I don't want to hurt you, .. 14,000 retweets.
It's so broad. Like, it's just,
his goodnight tweet got 8,000 retweets. Like, it's insane.
It's and so, like, for me, when I see those things, as a person that doesn't know anything about MadCon, immediately I'm like, this is so corny. You know what I mean? Like, I always talk about the importance of social media for a musician nowadays. And I do think it is important to interact with fans and stuff like that. That's how you build a solid fan base online. And that's how you get people to buy your music or whatever. But I want it to be genuine. I don't want it to feel like you're talking to 100,000 other people or 8 million other people in his case. For me, like, before watching this, I definitely, it just felt so fake to me. But, like, after watching it, I felt like that was the only way he could be, because if he said the wrong thing, it would offend someone. Or if he did something, you know, the wrong way, if he didn't smile in this picture or whatever, it would offend someone. And then you have, like, millions of crying fans.
Exactly. And, like, the thing is, another thing I picked up on from the show is that he knows exactly what they want to hear yeah. and see. Like, when that girl ran up to him at the airport and she just wanted a selfie, but he asked her, do you want a kiss on the cheek?
Yeah.
You know, like, he yeah. went out of his way to, like, do something that, it's just extra, basically. It's like extra for a simple interaction, you know. And so he knows what to do and what to say in the moments. Like, at the concert, like, at the end of one of the shows, he was like, remember, you're all worth it. Like, just different things like that where he knows, he feels like it's his responsibility to say certain things to make sure they're happy and they feel seen. Yeah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a genuine, not to say that he doesn't care, but it's right, not right. like, you know, they're interpreting it as, like, something that he's doing to help them through their very specific situation that
right.
they're going through. But he's really just trying to, like, on a please grand everyone. Scheme of things, just, like, make sure everyone remains happy. And that's not just with the fans. Like, he very much does that with the MadCon crew as well, which yeah. I feel like adds to all his, you know, anxiety issues on the side. But yeah, it's a lot.
It's interesting. It definitely is interesting. So yeah, so we watched Chase and Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on, like, MadCon as a whole, though? Like, after we saw what we saw, whatever, like, mm-hmm. the business side of it, the money side of it, because that was kind of sketchy on the show.
Very sketchy.
You know? So, like, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Okay, so I do still believe that it's taking advantage of young teen girls and, like, their I guess, this mob mentality that happens with the quote unquote stereotypical like fangirl, you know, and they basically just, instead of just manufacturing a boy band for them to obsess over, they cut out the expensive music part and just were like, they have a bunch of followers, we're going to put them together and do this. So, I mean, it's like, I mentioned this to you before, I'm like simultaneously like fascinated by all of this and also disgusted in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the thing is like this demographic of girls that go towards these kind of guys, they, a lot of them, like, especially on the younger spectrum, like the younger years, they can ask their parents for anything and get it. And that's where, right, that's where MagCon, the company, is trying to hit those parents' pockets that have, you know, a lot of them, these middle class families who, you know, may have a lot of money to devote to their child's obsessions. Like, that's where they're trying to go. And so I definitely still feel that, like, feeling of disgust when it comes to those things. But then seeing the show and seeing how, like, despite the fact that this is an insane business model with a very dedicated fan base that's willing to spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on meet and greets and merch, these boys still aren't getting paid correctly. That's really scary. And I tweeted about this that it's like they, it seems like they're getting fucked over worse than like TLC did, or like some artists that like we look at as like being completely mismanaged. Like, they, first of all, the old MagCon apparently broke up because of this issue of just like not handling money well. So where's that money going? Right. You know? And then now this new MagCon, like, they're only getting paid like per day, and by paid it's like a certain stipend basically that's like sending them off to go eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and then of course your accommodations are taken care of, but it's just like these are young boys investing so much time into something like this. Like, when it's all over, like, what do they have left? You know, like, they, nothing. What do they have left?
That's their, like, followers.
So that to me was really gross. And I also, if I'm being completely honest, like, this is very much like, it's an obvious vehicle to just get, frankly, like, mediocre white boys this platform. Because not only is it mostly boys, it's, they're all white except for Willie Jones, who is a legitimate country singer. If you guys don't remember, he was actually on the X Factor season with Fifth Harmony. And he's also fellow Louisianan. A lot of these guys are, though. Like, MagCon was actually founded in Shreveport, Louisiana, which was, like, a really interesting, weird factoid. But, yeah, Willie's the only, like, black or person of color, period, like, on MagCon, but he's not even like a official member. They have him as like a special guest. So like on the show, you can see there's like multiple moments where he's very much screwed over. Like, he doesn't get paid as much. He doesn't take part in the meet and greets, which I'm pretty sure is part of why he doesn't get paid as much. He only does the stage portion. But if all the money is going towards meet and greets, then obviously
He's not getting paid
just kind of there for a ride. And then, of course, he got, like, left. They left him in Madrid.
Like,
you know,
they didn't leave him and say, I'm in New Orleans and you're in Baton Rouge and I left you in Baton. No, they left him in Madrid
in
and came back to the States.
Country where, like, he doesn't speak the language. And, like, according to him, like, no one shot him a text or a call to, like, maybe get him to wake
him
up
or
like
anything.
Ask where he is. And if you guys like watch the episode, like, Willie's dad gets really upset, rightfully so.
He was ready to set it off, y'all.
Rightfully so, at like the CEO of MagCon for really, you know, not caring about his son who he took out on this tour. So it just was, it's kind of jarring being an outsider looking in and seeing how, like, there's no girls, there's no people of color. And I think we mentioned DigiTour. I think DigiTour does it a little bit better. A little bit. They have a couple more, but, like, it's not saying much. And, yeah, I just, the way Willie is, like, treated and kind of put on the back burner, he has a significantly, like, lower follower count than everyone else. Like, it's, it just rubs me the wrong way. I don't really know what to make of it. So those are kind of like my thoughts now after watching it. But again, I do have much more respect for Cameron Dallas. Like, I think, you know, he's still young, like early 20s. So there are still moments on the show where he's acting kind of immature. But I think he does take this as like a huge responsibility, and he loves his fans, he loves his team, and he is smart about the way he goes about things. And so I think hopefully if he, his personal management is like doing him right, like, and he ditches the MagCon management, I think, you know, he has like a deal apparently as a model for Dolce & Gabbana. So like, I think like he's doing well and will do well. I'm not so sure about the other guys, to be honest, because they don't seem to have as much of like an instinct.
Mind.
Yeah, as much of an instinct for like how to handle themselves when it comes to the business side of things. And that is something that can definitely make or break someone. So those are, yeah, those are my final thoughts. What about you? What are your kind of like takeaways?
So like, am I a fan of MagCon now that I've watched, you know, this? Probably not. Mm-hmm. I do have, you know, a little bit more insight on like what their world is like, you know, but I do think, like you said, I have a little bit more respect for Cameron Dallas. I don't think he's a douche, like the impression from Twitter and stuff like that. He seems like an okay kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can say the same about all of his counterparts, but I do feel like I have just a better understanding of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's why this is definitely something like I would recommend to people who may have been super anti-MagCon. Obviously, like, we're not going to completely change your opinion, but
yeah, because I mean, like, I'm not a fan.
Right, right.
Like not, after all this, I'm still not a fan, but
I do think it's, like, important to kind of take the time, like, if you are interested to, like, get more of a perspective, because there's definitely this hierarchy in the fandom world, like across fandoms and across whatever you're fans of, TV, music, social media people, whatever it is. Like, there's definitely this sense of a hierarchy, even sports you can throw in there. And as I was researching for this, I started thinking about just like how we kind of fight for our legitimacy as fans of pop music and whatnot to sports fans, for example, who pretty much have all the legitimacy in the world. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how I feel about then like putting someone else down for being a fan of something. Like, I mean, of course, like if you're a fan of like a terrible human being who actually is like out there murdering people or something like that, I'm definitely judging you. But like, if it's, you know, something like people who are literally just making a living off social media, I personally may not understand it, but it makes me think twice about maybe thinking of them as like lesser, you know?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
I mean, like, I'm not against making money from social media at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think making money by like manipulation is another thing though.
Right.
And that
right.
was like my general like negative idea of it from the beginning. But like I said, my mindset about it has changed a bit. There are still some aspects about it that are still like so shady though. Like even watching the show, there are some things that are just so shady. And not just
shady between like the like quote unquote MagCon talent, like the actual guys that are famous and the fans, but like the company itself to me is very much shady, like straight up, you know, the MagCon organization, like from what we're seeing on the show, it seems like at the top there's some like weirdness going on, which doesn't bode well for people who are fans and putting their money into it, and also the talent that's involved that's expecting a certain thing or a certain direction for their careers and maybe not going to get that result because they're being mismanaged. And that happens across all industries, I think. So especially when you're dealing with young, naive talent, which is like, to me, again, across all industries, one of my biggest pet peeves is when like older people bring in these child stars or teens and like take advantage of them. But that's for another day. So yeah, y'all should check out Chasing Cameron, and Netflix should cut us a check.
Yes. Give us some money for this.
All right, everyone. So now we're going to get into our Stan Story segment, where we talk with different people from fandoms across the fan universe, and we get a little more insight about what it's like to be a fan in their fandom. So today, our special guest is Nicolene. She is a huge, huge Stan of Cameron Dallas and the old MagCon crew. So she's here to kind of break down that world for us a little bit and give us some insight on what it's like to be a fan of theirs. So welcome, Nicolene. Thank you for being on with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, when did you become a fan of MagCon?
It started late 2013, I think, when I found Cameron on social media. I basically looked into him, and then I found the other boys, and it became an obsession. So, <yeah. laughs>
so had you ever been in? Because like I was looking at your Twitter account, you have like over 100,000 followers, right?
Yeah,
that's insane. So like, can you just talk a little bit about like, have you been into other fandoms before, or like, you know, has this account just been dedicated to MagCon and Cameron like since you started it?
It actually started out as a Justin Bieber fan account, I think 2011 or something. And then I changed it later on.
So you spoke about being a fan of the old MagCon. So what's the difference, like from your perspective, what's the difference between the old MagCon versus the new MagCon?
Definitely the people.
Yeah.
The people in the old MagCon, I like them better.
Yeah.
And they were older. Mm-hmm. In the new MagCon, there is a lot of like young boys, yeah, down to 13-year-olds, and I'm 20, so
yeah, I get that.
So like we mentioned, you know, this Netflix show Chasing Cameron has been on, and like we watched a couple episodes, and it kind of helped us learn a lot about this whole world. But something I found interesting was that Cameron, in like the very first episode, he talked a little bit about this negative stereotype that's associated with social media stars. Like, do you have any thoughts about that? And you know, just, yeah, what do you think about that?
I think, like, a lot of people look down on social media stars because they think that they're only famous for their looks. But if you look on Cameron, he is also, like, this huge actor now, and he's a singer, and he just uses his social media influence to make people happy.
So, what did you think about have you watched the whole season of Chasing Cameron, and what did you think about it?
I actually didn't watch the whole thing yet because it's very emotional for me, so I have to prepare mentally.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of emotion going on this show. If you could tell people about MagCon / Cameron Dallas fandom, like, how would you describe it? Like, what is it like being in that community?
It changed a lot, to be honest. Like, in the start, we were all into it, like, together and had a really good connection. But now people are really mean to each other.
Was there anything behind, like, some of the negativity that's going on, or...?
I just think that everyone thinks that Cam is theirs, like Cameron. So it's, like, this huge intern fight to get him.
Oh, so is it, like, people kind of, like... Is it jealousy and stuff?
Yeah, and the huge Twitter accounts, they're really looking down on the small ones.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
that
seems to happen in every fandom, though. Like, I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, people with thousands of followers, like, being mean or so to people with, like, maybe 100 or whatever. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a fandom hierarchy.
Oh, yeah.
I try to reply to everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, if you, between, like, the number of followers and also, like, if you're getting a lot of interactions from Cameron or, like, whoever you're following, like, sometimes people who are getting more interactions from them online can spark some negativity as well. So, but okay. This is my actual last question. I'm sorry. Can you talk a little bit about, like, have you met Cameron and MagCon? Like, have you attended one of these meet and greet conventions? And, like, what was that like?
Yes, I went to two MagCon shows when they were in Europe. I live in Denmark, and they didn't come here. So first I flew to London and met the guys. And then I just got home and had to go to school one day, and then I drove to Berlin to meet them, but, like, I didn't like the show that much.
Really?
Yeah, I sound like a bad fan.
No, no, you could totally be honest.
Sorry, to be honest. Yeah.
What? So, wait, did you, like, prefer the meet and greet part?
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes sense.
In London, I had to wait. Basically, I waited 5 hours to meet them because I was the last one, so... I was just standing, listening to the music for 5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, if the whole thing is the meet and greet convention, so it makes sense that you may not like the show part if you're there to meet them anyway. That's, like, that's what you hold closer to you anyway. So, yeah, that makes sense. I don't think that makes you a bad fan.
I just feel bad for the fans that only got to see the show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So is it, like, are you paying extra and stuff depending on if you're just seeing the show or if you're...
Yes.
Okay.
They were really expensive. So.
Wow, wow. It's intense. But yeah, I think that's all we've got. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk
to
us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having
me.
Yeah,
I'm sure the time difference is insane. And also happy belated birthday because your birthday was yesterday. but yeah, so where can people find you on Twitter and whatnot?
Actually, my Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat is all just LasIceCam.
Cool, cool. And we'll have it all in the description box so people can give you a follow. Yeah, so thank you again. And yeah, I hope we can like keep in touch, keep us updated on what's going on over there in the MadCon fandom, Cameron fandom.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So if this is your first time listening, our flops and faves segment is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. So my fave of the week, I feel like I haven't done a musical fave in a minute. So I'm just going to shout out like a couple of people that I'm listening to. And really, like, it's the beginning of the year, so we haven't really gotten that much new music yet for this year. So I'm actually still kind of catching up on music I missed in 2016. So one of the albums that I am so sad I didn't catch when it first came out was the album We Are King by the amazing girl group King. They are in like incredibly, it's like these amazing angelic like R&B voices blended together, but the production is still like really nice and modern. It's like sometimes sounds like not like electronic music, but it has this like scientific like alt feel. But it's a really great album like through and through. So y'all should check out We Are King by the group King. Also has beautiful album cover art, by the way. And then two amazing rappers that I'm checking out right now. Kari Foe, who if you listen to Insecure, you definitely have heard some of her music or watched Insecure, sorry. And then Princess Nokia, who's like such a badass. Like, look up all of their music. They're both just so raw and honest in their music and also hilarious. Like, I love when people include comedy in their music, and so some of their lyrics are just so funny. So check them out. Those are my faves of the week. And then my flop of the week, you know, Golden Globes were this week. Some of my faves won. Tracee Ellis Ross, you know, Donald Glover got his awards for Atlanta. All great. Viola Davis, of course. But like, there was this like recurring issue of like white people at the Golden Globes saying that there's a film called Hidden Fences.
I knew it was coming.
Hidden Fences, y'all. Like, that's not a real movie. Like, there's Hidden Figures, which is a great film. There's Fences, which is a great film. They both happen to have predominantly black casts.
Right.
However, they're not the same. So, on the red carpet, Jenna Bush, which I have no idea who made her a correspondent to begin with.
Exactly.
She was talking to Pharrell, who produced the Hidden Figures soundtrack. And she asked him how it felt to be nominated for his film, Hidden Fences. And he just gave her this look. That, like, if you are a person who, like, in the workplace or at school has been, like, called the name of, like, a different person of color,
mm-hmm.
like, one of your, like, coworkers or classmates.
Oh, my God.
Like, I have been called, like, a name that was not my name by someone who just, you know, mixed up two black people. Like, it's crazy. Like, he had that look on his face of just, like, is this shit really happening? And then he, like, blinked and he's like, yeah, I'm still here. Like, this is really a thing. And so that happened. And Twitter was reeling, of course, and, like,
oh my gosh,
dying
so
at it. Then we get to the freaking award show. And Michael Keaton is on stage, like, announcing the best supporting actress in a, you know, dramatic film, like, award. And, like, when he's, you know, calling Octavia Spencer's name, he also says Hidden Fences. And so I'm just like, what is wrong with you guys that this mistake keeps happening? Like, how? But, like, my favorite part was, like, the way Twitter kind of reacted to it.
Oh, my God. I love
and
Twitter.
And so they kind of made up other, like, black movie hybrids, which I retweeted like every single one that I saw because they were all so hilarious. So there's How Stella Got Her Bodyguard Back or something. My personal favorite, Boys Waiting to Exhale in the Hood. Hidden Fences, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Like, it just is gold. So if you look at the hashtag Hidden Fences, like, they, you know, Twitter, like, took it over and made it into something funny. But it really doesn't excuse a lot of the, I guess, passive racism that goes on at award shows. Like, every year, inevitably, they call, like, Denzel Washington Samuel L. Jackson. You know, like, something like that always happens. Like, I've seen Alfre Woodard and Viola Davis get, you know, mistaken for each other before. Like, it's as someone who's a huge fan of award shows and stuff, the pomp and circumstance of it is, like, really exciting. I love films and TV, so it's, like, a fun time. These things just make me livid. Like, the fact that it keeps happening is so, so frustrating. So Jenna Bush and Michael Keaton in particular get my flop of the week for doing, just being completely messy with and not doing their research. So that's me.
Wrong for that.
Yeah. So what are your flops and faves?
My fave, I have two faves. I couldn't choose between the two. One is it's a song called Stillness is a Move by Dirty Projectors. I used to love this song in high school. And Solange, it's a throwback. Solange actually did a cover of it, and she, like, sampled Erykah Badu's Bag Lady with the instrumental of that song. And it was done, the sample was done way long time ago, like when I was back in high school or whatever. And I had recently listened to it again, and I'm like, oh my God, I love this so much. So I've been listening to that on repeat for the last week or so. And then my second fave is Game of Thrones. I started watching it, and I love it so much. I'm only on season 4 right now, though, so I have a lot more, you know, to watch.
I've been enjoying your live tweets, and I feel bad for you every time someone replies with, like, a low-key spoiler.
It's like I know when something is coming, but I know something is coming, but I don't know when it's coming.
Right.
So it's like, oh, it's torture. But I really do like Game of Thrones. If you have the time to sit and watch it, definitely watch it before the next season comes out, I think in, like, the summer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are my faves. And then my flop goes to Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Let me tell
yes.
you why yes. my flop goes to Tom Hiddleston. Because, okay, so he won a Golden Globe last night. And I don't even know what it was for. I think it was Best Actor in a Television Movie or Miniseries for his lead role in The Night Manager. So, you know, all great. I had never seen that before. That was my first time hearing of The Night Manager, first of all, last night. So he won or whatever. Yay, yay, clap, clap. He gets up, and, you know, some people just thank the people that helped them get there, and then they get off the stage. And then some people, you know, they use their platform to raise awareness for certain things, like Meryl Streep did later on in the night and stuff like that. Well, Tom got up there, and he's like, let me talk about these people in Sudan, right?
Sudan, yeah.
So he's talking about them. He's, you know, saying, you know, they're the youngest country in the world, and he did some humanitarian work over there, fine and dandy, you know? And then he ends the speech with something like, so the people there, they watch the show, and I'm just happy that I could give them some type of relief while they're, like, starving and sick and dying and shit. And I'm just like, oh my God, please. And, like, my favorite thing about it was the crowd's reaction, like, Christian Slater, Naomi Harris. I'm
Naomi
trying to think
Harris's
of the other person.
Naomi Harris's eye roll was, like, the eye roll of all eye rolls.
I'm trying to think of the other person that was in that, like, those shots or whatever. But it was so funny because everybody in the crowd was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Ain't
like,
nobody in South Sudan watching a show about a so British grateful. Soldier in whatever the fuck. Like, they don't care about that.
It was like it was an okay speech until the end. He's like, I'm just so happy that I could be of service. Like, are you serious? Like, no, bruh. No. Up. That is you. Tom Hiddleston has my flop of the week for that. I was watching and I was cringing because I'm like, okay, No, this is, I hope this is not going where he, where I think it's going. And it went
honestly
there.
I tuned out before that he even got there. Like, I'm all for racism.
It felt like it was dragging anyway, but it was just like, man, why did you do that? And yeah. So I guess he released a apology or whatever, but it was just like, it's too late, bruh. It was so like, it's so self-obsessed, like, so weird. But
speaking of the Golden Globes, though, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you lying low until all that La La Land hype dies down?
Oh my God.
Because I am. I've done like, with it.
What the hell? Like, I know that movie was not that good. I know the music wasn't that good either. Mm-hmm. There's no way. Like, how do you sweep the whole show?
They kept going like, up there like, oh, this groundbreaking, like, I can't believe they allowed us to do this. You are starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, two of Hollywood's darlings, in a musical about Los Angeles. Like, what is so groundbreaking about that? Like, someone on my timeline tweeted, like, in the age of Hamilton, like, truly you're going to call something like this, like, something that's never been done before and something that's, you know, like, this groundbreaking thing? Like,
oh, God.
No.
It was just,
like, how?
Every time they call their name, I'm like, I know this movie is not good. I know it. And I'm not going to spend my money to go see it, but I know if I go watch it, it won't be as good as these people are claiming it is. So, yeah. Freaking La La Land.
Anyway.
But go see Hidden Figures instead.
Yes, or Moonlight. If you have a theater near you that's showing that, either of those films, go see it. Fences is also really beautifully done. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen Arrival yet, or Manchester in the Sea, or of the Sea, but I don't really want to go see that because Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
But I do want to see Lion, the movie with Dev Patel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The little guy. They're, I think his name's Sunny or something like that.
Yeah,
so cute.
He's adorable.
So cute. But yeah, so that was the show.
That was the show. Lucky 13.
Mm-hmm.
And our first one of the year. So thanks for listening, guys. So shout out to our favorite DJ in the entire world, DJ Magic. She produces all the music that you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud at YaGirlDJMagic. All of her handles and information will be in the description box. She'll be having like a few mixes and awesome stuff soon. So make sure to give her a follow.
And you can follow us, the show.
Mm-hmm.
Fan
mm-hmm.
of a fan at the Fan Podcast on Twitter and Tumblr. And you can follow our personal Twitters. I'm not going to spell them out or anything. They're in the description box.
Yep. And
go find us. Go follow us.
And you can share the podcast and rate it and do all that fun stuff on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, all that fun stuff. We're finally on Google Play for all you Android people. Like, sorry it took so long. Make sure you guys check out our Google form for Stan Stories if you're interested in being on the show, because we'd love to talk to y'all. And thank you for listening.
Yeah.